WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
Welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. John Easter in the studio tonight with my good friend Bryson Hill, and I'll turn on his mic. How are you, Bryson?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And also our good friend, Coach Russ Mann. Coach, how's it going tonight?
Not too bad. Nice little practice today. We had a nice experience afterward with the senior night of our unified football team, and short practice a little bit, but that's a kind of the environment we needed today. There's a nice little crisp practice.
Did you get a little rain yesterday during practice?
We got lucky. I think the rain that anybody really got might have been a little bit 1 o'clock-ish in the afternoon. But when we got out there, we might have got a few drops.
Man, I knock on wood when I say this, but you know, as much as you had last year where you had the games that were postponed to Saturday, what, Avon, Warren, and then – the whole Lawrence North
this
game.
Week last year, there was a hurricane in the Midwest.
Hurricane Helene was still a hurricane coming up, but it was just like a weird year. So I guess you guys earned this one this year.
It's very nice after last year. That I think that maybe two games in all the coaching I've done that I've had to finish it up on a Saturday or move it to a Saturday, and then two in 1 year.
We had one over at Warren. Were you coaching there that year?
I was not.
That was the 6-3 field goal win for Ben Davis.
Oh, that was my 2011-ish. Yeah.
So in that game, Warren led the whole game. They were up 3-0. And then the last 3 minutes of the game, Ben Davis hit two field goals, and one of them was a 50-yarder to win it. So that was that. And then
that might have been 2012.
Yeah, and then I think the same year we had one at Terre Haute North.
Yes, and it was. Yes, and Terre Haute North had you guys come back at 10 o'clock. they had a punt return in that game. I remember watching the video of that play. There might have been a block in the back or two. No one in the state expected Terre Haute North to be that close.
Like,
but
it was a close game at the half, and then I don't think they were too happy that had to make the trip back down to Terre Haute. I almost got a ticket that morning going to Terre Haute North. That'll go in my book. I'll have to write that. All right, Bryson.
Well, I mean, we're on the track of weather, so I guess this is a question I literally just thought of 30 seconds ago, but how does weather affect everything when it comes to football as a coach? Because it's, last year when all that stuff was happening, that was actually my first ever game I called for WBDG was the delay game where we had it on Saturday morning. And I just want, how does that affect as a coach? Like, game-wise, you have to pump all your everything you had ready, save it, depending on if it gets delayed next day or a couple of hours or so. Then how do you keep your players in check for that long? Like, let's say it, game gets delayed till 10 o'clock. That's usually a three-hour gap. Like, how do you keep them ready as a coach, and how do you keep yourself ready?
Well, this could take up the whole first segment. Like, the question of weather and how you manage it just for – during the week of practice, if there's rain that comes, you could be damaging a lot of footballs by going out there and practicing in the rain and making sure you have that, create that an experience so that it's something that might replicate what we see that Friday. If Friday is supposed to be clear and the weather is not going to have a productive practice, then we have to modify plans that day. We may go outside for a little bit. We may so we get used to it, but I know that in the 2023 state championship year, we had a program cathedral that was up at 6A, and they had a school that they were going to all the time, which was Arlington, to play, which was on grass.
Right.
And there was a 50-50 chance that we would be playing at Arlington or would it be here. So anytime it did rain during the regular season, at least for the first like 3 weeks of the regular season, we would move up to the grass field to get used to being on grass when it's wet, just because if you are playing at Arlington that week and the rain were to come in Thursday before that regional championship, we don't have an opportunity to practice on it. So we went up there over and over again, just the smallest of rain. But then they canceled the Chatard deal, and it would have worked out for us ultimately because we did play at Cathedral, but it was at UIndy instead. So our guys were prepared for that. For the night of a game, depends if it there's a few elements that you have to battle. The first one that bothers the quarterbacks the most is wind before everything else. And kickers. Like kickers that, especially if it were an NFL kicker and where the uprights are a little bit more narrow, and the stadiums can create wind tunnels. Like if you go down to Memorial Stadium at IU, it might be blowing west to east, but when you get in there, it's not the exact same with the for the kickers. So that bothers the kickers. Weather after that, that would be the misty cold rain right around 40. Mm-hmm. That one starts to – the most important thing there then as a coach is to make sure players don't – their toes don't get cold and their fingers don't get cold, because then that's when the mind goes next. So keeping those two things, obviously the system that you would create for keeping balls dry, for delays, making it's kind of like taking a nap on the ride over. Like you as the adults or you as the coach or the leaders, you need to know when it's time to get back into the routine of mm-hmm. all right, now we're locking, just like you're going out for a warm-up or something like that. Like you have to just make the modifications.
And are you just like trying to keep warm in locker rooms there, whether it's just throwing the football around?
An ADD nightmare. It's a fun time, like keeping everyone calm. Like that one last year at Avon was pretty mellow. Last year at Warren, we were two different ones. It's not usually that part isn't too bad, but the longer the delay, I have not had a three-hour one, though, so I don't know about that.
You know, I just happen to remember another delay, and it was a really weird one, where Ben Davis was playing Pike, and it was like a minute 20 to go in the game, and a storm came through, and they came, instead of just calling the game, they actually came back the next morning, but Ben Davis went through its entire
2014.
Yeah.
For 1 minute. It gets you wanting to keep
right.
the mice.
Pike did not. They just kind of came out. And,
difference of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Pike was winning when you guys went back.
Correct. 53, I think the final.
Kastner and Chris Evans.
Yeah. I have to go back. 53-50, I think, was the final.
That sounds like a Pike Ben Davis score from early 2006.
I mean, I've witnessed both those situations last year with our game, and then last year, Danville, where I go, they had a 2.5 hour delay.
Ooh.
So that game didn't get over to like midnight. Yeah, I was like stopped at like 7. They were resumed at like 9:30.
Which would you prefer as a coach? Would you prefer just to get it out of the way that night,
I would think next day, because you get back more in the groove easier. I don't know. It just depends
on your role. I would say as a varsity position coach, you would probably want the best environment, but as a coordinator. The day if you get delayed or you play like a Saturday game down in Ohio, you're a day behind your whole routine, like of prepping for the next game. It's more for the prepping and getting game plan for the next team. Set yourself back a week,
a day.
Yeah. The Saturdays usually come with a JV or freshman games on Monday or something, or when we would play down in Ohio, maybe those would be on Friday night. But the prep work that goes with it, then like a we did the Avon Lowen last year. It was like a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It was right around the corner. You got Pike, and that's time where people are usually putting in data in the huddle and getting there. Is it usually Saturday night? So you're a little bit behind on prep work. So coordinators would want it to get that game done. Position coaches probably want the best environments. It depends on your role.
Yeah. And then for practice, you just like, let's say it has to get canceled due to thunder and lightning.
Oh, man. No, we got something. Yes.
You just go two times harder.
We have an MPA we'll go into.
Go to the inside, something like that.
We will find value into making sure we are our best version of ourselves on Friday.
We should probably actually get into what happened on Friday night.
38-23 loss to Warren Central.
Yeah. So you guys take that loss there. I want to ask you just basic question here. Nothing too crazy, but what do you think, maybe like one or two of the biggest things that changed positively from last week that you liked more in this game, and what are two more so things that you either saw that stayed the same from the loss last week and that you still need to fix, or stuff that was kind of new that you need to realize you need to fix. So just positives and negatives.
It was nice to see us right off the bat come out and get the pick six, Jeremiah Murphy early, and then scoring on Higgins scored on the fourth down play, play call, and jumping out to that 14-0 lead, and then we got another stop, and that's where...
That's kind of been a little different this season, because you haven't really haven't led a lot this season at all.
Well, the we wanted to start, obviously, with how we came out with for Center Grove. We do the first wave. They would have some type of wave there in the first half. It happened early that we scored 21 points with their offense sitting on the bench there and not being able to do anything about it against Center Grove. Last Friday against Warren, it would have been nice to get one more compliment, and that we got a stop on defense or pick six. Then we scored on offense later, and then we got another stop, and I would have liked to see our special teams put a little pressure on that particular punt, and there were some things that happened in that particular series that changed our personnel, that was the one that wanted to jump out there. When you're playing a bunch of 14, 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, that a 21-0 lead does a little bit more for the mind as opposed to a 14-0 or being down 14. So would have liked to see us seize one more score early while they were on the ropes. They could have changed the game 100 different ways. But it was nice to see us get the stops and defend the run. Warren has had a great year running the football. Their running back came into the week averaging like 7.6, so holding them underneath 100 yards. Our defense, obviously, with the performance we had against Center Grove, that was a detail that we focused on for Warren. So it's nice to see the defense get those stops, but we the next thing we need to do defensively is defend the forward pass a little better than when, especially if the way our guys are now communicating and seeing some things pre-snap now, it's a time to start making plays for ourselves.
For sure, and then the first segment is already almost over, but I'll ask you one last question here. Do you approach every game the same as a coach and give the same message, whether it's a Mick game, whether it's a whatever the case may be, whether against a rival, whether it's against a 5-0 team or a 0-5 team? Do you just approach every game the same as a coach?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, I 100% do it. I go back to 2 years ago when we were playing IMG, and I asked at the parent meeting. We had a parent meeting on the purple-white scrimmage. I asked our parents just like, hey, you have to be careful with our players. On the week before IMG was Pike, and the week after IMG was Warren, which if there were
two schools,
people would maybe call both those as rivals, and or people on the outside at least look at those two programs of when they play and call them rivalries. And I had already started to hear things about how special we were going to treat this IMG game, and I was like, playing an all-star club, like we're not even playing like somebody here from Indiana or Indianapolis or somebody that knocked us out of the playoffs the previous year, some type of animosity towards them. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that if you approach it all the same, as if you do that as a coach as well, if you are playing a weaker team and then a coach in his prep shows that a little bit by like not being as prepared, the players, it would start to reflect off on them. If you start to generate too much emotion for one game, and then the next game you come out flat to practice,
you never want to be too confident at all.
Nope, you want to
have confidence, keep it safe. You don't want to overdo your confidence.
Always perform or prepare to the best of your ability, and yes, always fight us something to make sure we're our best version by the playoffs.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about a team from the northeast side called Lawrence North. That's our focus second segment of Inside Ben Davis Football.
Thanks to Chuck Baer of EXP Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with EXP Realty offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of EXP Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of EXP Realty for his support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Baer Realtor. And welcome back to the second half of Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. Once again, we'd like to thank Chuck Baer for all his support of this program over the last few years. It's not just been this year. Chuck's been a solid supporter, so thank you to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty. And we are in the second half now and ready to talk about the Lawrence North Wildcats.
Let's go. I mean, let's get right into it. Their offense is, I mean, they're up blistering their grade through their last four games here, or sorry, last three, not even four, which have all been wins. They have 164 points through three games. Half of that being last week, where they won 77-0. How do you approach such a dominant offense like that?
You know, speaking of the rain games that we had earlier, that they did play against Tech last year, mm-hmm. and their score was 35-0. There was, I think, seven plays into the second quarter, so that was enough when their delay happened, and we were over at Warren at that time. They just called it a night. Last Friday, they did not have any rain delay, so that score of 77, that was they could score on special teams. They could, their defense creates chaos. They just won the track state championship this past June, and one of the a few of the guys that play football were a big part of that. At receiver, at running back, and at quarterback. I don't know how I can't do it on the radio without screaming, but I would put all capital letters that fast. Like, very, the speed is there. So these are guys that they're all in, and they're playing hard for their programs. Like, these. About 10 years ago, there wasn't a solid game against LN at that time, but Coach Pat Mallory's done a great job of building up that program, and they are fast. They are, like you said, they're scoring points, and they're doing it very efficiently, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even in their losses, they've only one loss of the season. They are 4-1 on the season.
Their running back was out that game, too. Like, he's averaging.
Even in their only loss of the season against Fishers, you know, they still put up 28-31. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Xavion Moore, 159 rushing yards per game.
Yes.
So he about 12 yards per game. Definitely someone to watch out for this Friday. 12 total touchdowns as well on the season. Has there been any special you guys toning on him a lot?
Well, they also have a receiving core that's pretty good, and they have a track champions out there too that are 6'5" and recruited nationally across the country. Their sophomore quarterback is extremely elusive and fast. So it is a yes that we got to keep an eye on in that backfield. We also. It is very important, the pre-snap communication of everybody, like what we have going on, because it was a lot like playing Johnny Adams and Reese Taylor, Brock and Jermaine and Tunsil in the 2017. Like, if you misfitted Johnny Adams, you could have had everything. Just everybody was sound. Everybody was all in. And then if there was 18 inches, that's all he needed, and he was gone.
Yeah. Like, and I don't think people maybe remember last year, Lawrence North was 11-0 before they lost to Brownsburg, ranked number one in the state, mm-hmm. Had everything rolling, and they have a lot of pieces back from that team.
Correct.
This year.
Correct, and they were leading late in that game. There's quite a few different versions I've heard about that final drive and and how it all went down. And a lot of those pieces are back too. Yes, it's awesome. It's great.
And speaking of pieces, Jeb Brown, he was a junior last year. You know, we talk about offensive, you know, key players in the running backs. You know, he's a linebacker. He's just incredible on the season so far. 13 tackles a game and 4 sacks a game. You don't see that a lot.
Him and Mallory, like, the funny part is, first off, with Jeb Brown, his mom and I, his mom is works in central office over there. She was an assistant principal when I first got to Warren Central, and then she moved to central office in Lawrence Township. I remember Jeb when he was a lot tinier when I first got over there. And when I saw that name on the 2-deep last week or last year, I was like, oh, little Jeb's growing up a little bit. And now that kid's balling out. And so is Mallory's son. And Mallory's son has got a lot of juice, energy. He's got a swagger and moxie to him. Mallory, a few other of the starters go both ways. Mallory and Sales. Mallory, they're on every special teams, kickoff return, punt. Mallory punts. They go after the punts. They then they're on defense and their special teams. Mallory has two touchdown receptions. They're all in. They play. They don't come off the field. So see a Jeb out there too. When I saw him, he was probably a little 4 or 5 years old last time I saw him.
Well, you know, yeah. You talk about Coach Mallory and the job that he's done. I always go back to just looking at the results. I mean, Ben Davis leads the series 25-5 with Lawrence North. But Coach Tom Dilley did a nice job up there for a lot of his years, mm-hmm. but it kind of went wrong towards the end. Ben Davis went up there, beat him 75-0 in a game that, I mean, Twitter was still relatively new. I was tweeting a score and we scored again. I mean, that was the night, and it was just an awful rainy night. And I think Coach Kirshner was talking about how after the game, you know, Coach Dilley was like, "I'm so sorry." He's like, "No, we're sorry." You know, I mean, because they were just struggling so much. I think they had 37 players out, and something like that. Then Coach Mallory comes in. Ben Davis beats him 65-0 the next year. But then you just look at the scores, and they started getting closer. 56-6, 35-14, 41-14, 41-6, 48-38. Uh-oh, here they come. 35-21. Uh-oh, now here's the overtime win here, 27-24. First win they'd ever had on this field. Go to Dwayne C. Bell the next. Yeah. Go Dwayne C. Bell the next year, 26-24. Lawrence North wins that game.
That was 2021. That was a wheel route by Omar late.
Yeah.
Like, there was a hook and ladder. I remember that game.
But then you kind of got back on top there in 22. And, of course, 23 is one of the weirdest games that I can remember. I mean, out driving around, you guys are up like 28-0. It's like, what the heck?
I got a few phone calls after that game wondering how I like the handshake line was.
Because right.
And I was like, well, it was just a freak game. How that happened, it was, there's nothing that any, it was just one of those games. Like, yes, it was, I think we had 5 interceptions or, and they were all, we didn't score on any of them, but we were giving the offense the ball, like the 10-yard line. Thomas tied Reese for the most touchdowns. Passes, and that was all in the first half.
Yeah, and then last year, you know, the game where they just kind of got out. It was a weird game to start with, being on a Saturday morning. But you really talk about the job that he has done with Lawrence North, kind of turning it from a game where it was like, okay, just mark that down as a win, to, I mean, they are now a force mm-hmm. in Indiana high school football. They've got as good a shot as anybody. I know they lost to Fishers, but Fisher's pretty darn good too.
Oh, absolutely.
So they have a shot to win it all mm-hmm. this year. So talk about the job that he's done kind of turning that program around, because you've seen it mm-hmm. from the assistant coaching chair and now from being the head coach here at Ben Davis.
Yeah, he was at Center Grove for 10 years, an O-line coach for Eric Moore, and then he went to Knightstown for 4 years, got his head coaching experience, and then when he came in to LN, that – the two programs, I was just leaving LC at that time, and they couldn't have been any different. They were the program that we had at LC, that was basically the Lawrence Bears. Like, we had just won state.
And, yeah.
We had a similar score against LN, 70-0, but it was 63-0 and a half. And it was mm-hmm. one of those ones where you could not stop. Anybody that we put out there was just like scored at will. And anybody we put out there on defense are getting picks and stops. Like, oh my God, like, you're trying to keep it somewhat close at some point, but. Coach Mallory came in. He had to, you know, grind that out with both track and football. And it took quite a few semesters of like, okay, another semester of in the weight room. And sooner or later, the track is going to take off or football is going to take off. They've always been good at track because of they get points from their distance team too. So they make runs in state meet track. But all the coaches in this area that used to be football and track, there's only one that still does it, and Coach Mallory's one of them, and he got himself a first state championship last year, and I think it might have been the smallest podium of athletes. Usually there's 12 of them down there. You got alternates for this. I think they had took like 5 dudes down there, and they dominate too.
You mean
like,
5 dudes?
Yes, yes, for sure. So I've told Coach Mallory this a few times, that if you take Coach Eric Moore's first 2 seasons away when Eric Moore got to Center Grove, and you take Pat Mallory's first 2 seasons away when he got to LN, they're pretty similar. So he's pretty similar to his mentor. And last year was actually the first time he got his mentor. Like, somehow it was like a big hurdle. He couldn't be Center Grove ever.
And then if you look at kind of the evolution of his even his offense up there. I mean, he first came in, they were Center Grove, Diet Center Grove, kind of.
Center Grove 3.0 wasn't right, quite right. The same version. It was like a tune-up game for the
but Center it was version. It was very similar to what you'd see with the wing tee and some of those concepts. And now, you know, they're high-flying, and you're going to see it Friday night. They're a fun team to watch. Hopefully not too fun, though, on Friday night.
Now, he always says he's still got the wing tee principles in there. They could always jump to wing tee at any given time. There was a game, I believe it was 2021. 2022, let's go 2019 it was. It was at LN, and we it was a 4th and 2 just before halftime. They had not run wing tee for a year and a half. Now, it would
you
not,
were Warren.
I was at Warren, right. And they jumped to a wing tee. They jumped to just a simple buck. I could have told you that that's what it was going to be because it was not. If he would have asked you if you would have graded that buck out of what it looks like, there's probably a third grade team at Center Grove that runs it a little bit better. And our guys are like, we had wing tee rules in and alignments and where they go. That 4th and 2 play, there's a cutback of the safety and they scored. And like, I could. We talked about it at halftime just in case they did come back out into it again. Like, we had the person on there that could have aligned to it, and we were starting to get right to where we needed to be. So after what he did tell me, wing tee principles are always in. I don't think they need them. They are just fine the way they are with the talent they have now, the juice to play with. He's done a great job with that program.
I guess final question here because we're running out of time. But final question from me. As you know, I played soccer for a couple of years in high school, and I know it's really hard to keep your chin up if your team is if the record's not there, if you're not doing great. I don't know, how does that lead into you and guys being starting 1-4 again, but also sectionals, it kind of restarts that. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter because you don't want to have no losses going into sectionals. Of course, you want momentum. But how do you kind
no
of...
No wins, I think.
You oh, yeah, sorry, no
you
wins.
You want no losses. Yeah.
But how do you kind of change that mindset up of if the record is bad going into sectionals? And because that kind of does reset once you get there. It doesn't really... the only games that matter from there out are the games going forward and not any of the games that happened in the past. So how do you preach that as a coach on and, I guess, somewhat off the field, too?
Well, here in the state of Indiana, they do allow everybody in the playoffs, and it's not like that in every state. There are, if you have buddies that coach in other states, they look down upon, like, why do you let everybody in? Your regular season games don't mean anything. Like, they do here, even though we've all created mindsets that help us improve, knowing that you have that at the end of the year, that everybody's getting in. You are building up to the best version of yourselves for the playoffs, and the schedule we have now, it's like that for everybody around here. Like the HCC conference, they have a tough schedule. They're all – every Friday night's tough. The MIC, and then the MIC in the future, it is difficult. Every Friday night is a challenge. It doesn't matter what our record is. And I'm not saying that to dismiss what your question was. With our sectional right now and how loaded our sectional is, last year the – Brownsburg about got knocked off by Avon, and Avon I think had 2 regular season wins or something like that. But you could see how good they were getting, and that's what our sectional is now. So you could be walking into that at 9-0, and that is now they're still keeping an eye on your sectional draw because with only 32 teams in the 6A, a lot of the powerhouses are in the South. Yeah. So those are all the guys that we play round one in the regular season. The second time you play them, that's in the playoffs.
And it's the game of football, anything can happen like that. You can have a bad day, a good day, whatever the case may be. But anything before we wrap up here on Inside Ben Davis Football for this Friday?
We are, the puppies are growing. They are they're getting there. They are pretty good week so far.
Track meet here this Friday. Every week.
That's the goal. Like, so we'll see. They're on the cusp of becoming dogs. And then we put all those phases together. Well, hopefully we have a special night on this Friday.
Absolutely. Well, good luck this Friday, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And that'll wrap up Inside Ben Davis Football. Join us on Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. for the kickoff. We'll have pregame at 6 p.m. Brody West is back.
I know that guy.
Yeah, Brody is back, and we have a freshman on the air, Parker Moore, joining him. So it should be a lot of fun out at Dwayne C. Bell Stadium. I think they still call it that, up on the north side. But you've been listening to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.